Well, today we're on to lesson 24 of our study in the book of Galatians, and today we're going to begin looking at the fruit of the Spirit. I've titled this lesson, Love. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to be in verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I love how Paul writes, by the way. I love that after he gives us this list of things that we are not to do, he immediately follows it up by what our lives should look like. So we've gone through the list of, right? Just a reminder of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. When we sin, the most offended party is always God. Always. Do you see how some of the evident works of the flesh, like idolatry and witchcraft, are sins against the first commandment? No other gods. And then do you see how so many of them are sins against our neighbors? So definitely not loving our neighbor. And others are sins against our own bodies. In all of them, remember, God is the most offended party. Keep in mind as you read these fruit of the Spirit that these are not a list of things to check off. It isn't for our flesh to try to grow these fruit. Our flesh can't grow these fruits. That's why they are fruits of the Spirit. So we must rely on the Spirit to grow these in our lives. These traits are results of God's work in us. Just like we took the acts of the sinful nature a couple at a time, we're going to take the fruit of the Spirit a couple at a time. Keep in mind as you read these that the Holy Spirit might convict you on some of these as we go through. Things where He wants to grow you and shape you to be exhibiting these fruit more fully. However, please always remember it isn't up to you to do this alone. Remember, He who began the good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. Philippians 1:6. Just again, I need to say this. This is not a list to cross off. You can't do this by yourself. This is all about giving yourself to Him and giving Him the glory when He shows how He uses our weakness to bring glory to Himself. Okay, so the first one is love. Now, this is not talking about romantic love, ladies. It's talking about love for God. For Christ, for God's word and His precepts, and for our brothers and sisters and fellow men. Love is not merely a feeling. Love is an action verb, not a state of being verb. Love should be able to be seen. Above all, our love for God should be obvious. Not because we say it over and over again, but because we live it. If we truly loved God as we're called to do, what would our lives look like? I can tell you there'd be a lot more Bible reading because we would truly look forward to reading the Bible and learning more about this God who loves us. Think about that. Whom among us has ever gotten a love letter or, I guess in today's world, a love email? Did you set it aside and say, I'll read that when I can squeeze it in. They love me. They'll understand. I don't have time for this right now. I doubt it. My bet is you read it immediately and then you read it again. You might even have kept those letters, right? To read again later? As a reminder, do you read the Bible like that? Do you understand that the Bible is truly His message to us? Do you love God enough to read what He has written down for us? To read His love letter to you? His letter that shows you who He is, His character, His qualities, and explains the lengths He's willing to go for you? Or how about this? Your special someone asks you to do something for them. Perhaps they need you to pick them up from work. Or they need you to take them to a doctor's appointment. Or they need your help holding a ladder so they don't fall off it and break their neck. Do you help? Do you listen as they ask and arrange your schedule so that you can help this person you love? Or do you give them cab fare and tell them that they can use that to get to and from the hospital? But isn't that how we treat God? When we have the opportunity to glorify Him by serving joyfully, do we do it or do we make excuses of why we can't help? Why someone else would be better for that job? What about this? Your special someone has been needing some quality time with you. Just time for the two of you to talk, catch up, share what's on your minds and in your hearts. They bring this request to you right at the start of your favorite TV show. What do you do? Do you say, well, why don't we watch this show together? That's spending time together, right? Do you say, well, can you just wait until the show's over? Then before bed, right before I fall asleep, I'll spend time with you? Or do you turn off the TV, remove other distractions, and spend that time with this person who is dear to you? What about with God? How often does that special TV show come before that time with God? Often to the point that when the show is over, now you're tired. So not only does God not get your best time, he gets a smaller amount of time too because, well, you do need your sleep after all. I don't know about you, but I think it's cool that the creator of the universe wants me to spend time with him. Do I take that for granted? Oh yeah, I do. Or am I filled with awe and glee at being chosen by him? Probably not as much as I should be. We get giddy over the fact that that special human wants to spend time with us, but our creator always wants to spend time with us, and we give him our leftovers. We as followers of Christ must first and foremost realize that we are called to share the love we have with others. When we read 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love because he first loved us." Because he first loved us, we are not to keep that love to ourselves, but we are to spread that love with anyone and everyone we can. Because he loved us, we are able to love others. Because he loved us, he showed us how to love others. In tangible, sacrificial ways. It may be watching a friend's new infant so they can take a needed nap. Volunteering at church to help with the maintenance of the building. Going out and handing out gospel tracts. Providing a meal or two for someone who is ill. Walking your neighbor's dog after their heart surgery. The list goes on and on. We show love for others when we sacrifice our own comfort for others. Do you see how we refuse to show love every day? We withhold love from God and from all those who are around us, whom we claim are dear to us. We whine and grumble about all the ways that we are inconvenienced by others, putting our own selfish desires above every other need around us. We all have different amounts of time and resources with which to show to others. That's true. But are we actually using the time and resources that we do have to show love to others? My questions for us today, ladies, are these. First of all, what are your priorities that you show that you love them the most? Is it TV? Facebook? Computer time? Where do you choose to spend your time? How often does God get the leftover time or the obligation time? Do you really think that is honoring him? And where are you withholding love from others? Where are you considering yourself as above everyone else, your needs as above everyone else's needs? Where are you insisting that allowances be made for you, but you're refusing to show grace to anyone else? Is that truly a life showing love? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't show that kind of love to you? Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com. Day 24, Love.